Hi, and welcome to Our Town, a podcast brought to you by the National Trust of South Australia. There's great stories out there about our people and places, and we've got one coming right up, so let's dive in.
It's a cool but bright autumn morning. Standing in the oldest section of Clare's largest cemetery, gazing down at a headstone. The wording of the headstone forces that in the years of the First World War, life was hard for the poorer members of the Clare community. Two children lie buried here, a brother and sister, aged just 9 and 7 years old, and this tale just touches on their story. Let us now walk back down to the museum, see what more we can discover about this dreadful tragedy.
Museum, we have a copy of an article from the local newspaper, the Northern Argus, dated Friday the 20th of July 1917, and this reads as follows: Sad fatality at Clare, two children drowned. On Tuesday night last, it was reported to the Clare police that a boy and a girl aged 9 and 7 years respectively, the children of Mr. and Mrs. O. Glastonbury of Clare, were missing. The father was away from home, working at Kaibunga, and the mother was laid up in bed. It appears that the children were sent to the doctor for medicine for their mother. They were seen by several persons on their way, and the last time they were noticed was in Main Street, shortly after 5 o'clock. They did not reach home, and an alarm was given. Notwithstanding the very wet and inclement weather, a ready response was given to the call for searchers, and armed with lanterns, a large number of men set out to seek for the children. The Hutch River and its tributaries were in flood, and it was thought likely that the children had fallen into one or other of the swollen streams. Very heavy rain fell during the greater part of the night, yet the searchers continued to explore the surrounding country until the early hours of the morning, returning weary, wet through, and unsuccessful. Early on Wednesday morning, the search was continued, and at about 8 o'clock, the body of the girl was recovered from the Hutch River on the property of Mr. Hill, about a mile north of the town. A Mr. Lemmy waded in and brought the body to the shore and found that the child was dead. The body was brought to Clare. The search for the boy was continued on Wednesday, but no trace of him was discovered. On Thursday morning, however, his dead body was found by Messrs. E. Glastonbury and R. Gordon, not far from the place where his sister was found. It is surmised that the children tried to cross a plank bridge over the Hutch River at the rear of the Stanley Hotel, but there is no evidence in corroboration of this. The matter was reported to Mr. J. Bale, J.P., as coroner, who, after inquiry, deemed an inquest unnecessary. Great sympathy has been expressed for Mr. and Mrs. Glastonbury in their sad loss. In 1882, a local general practitioner, Dr. Bain, had provided for the town of Clare an indoor swimming pool, the largest in South Australia and the only one outside of Adelaide. Perhaps these two children, Lloyd and Laurel, for whatever reason, had never had the opportunity to learn to swim in that pool. Who knows what really happened to them that night? Maybe Laurel lost her footing on the slippery planks of the bridge, and Lloyd jumped in to save her. When the Hutch River starts to flood, it runs at quite a pace, and it was such a stormy winter's night. Even if they could swim, they probably never stood a chance.
Flooding of the Hutch River has been reported at intervals since 1852, right until the present day. And finally, flood mitigation works are underway to protect the town and its community for hopefully the next 100 years. Of course, what happened to Lloyd and Laurel was a tragic accident. Children of the earlier pioneers were more likely to die from childhood diseases, such as scarlet fever, consumption, measles, and diphtheria. There being an outbreak of the latter in the Clare area in 1875, which evidently took a heavy toll on the population of local children. The area was fortunate to have practicing what we would now call general practitioners, as early as 1849. Patients would be seen in their homes or in private hospitals, and presumably would have had to pay whatever they could afford. One evidently much loved by the local community was a Dr. Anton Sokolowski, who visited his patients on horseback, evidently travelling quite a number of miles on any one day. One report recalls a neighbour finding him wending his weary way home one evening, fast asleep on the back of his horse. His death was also an accident, being knocked off his horse by a low-lying tree branch. Another victim of a horse-riding accident, sadly, was Lloyd and Laurel's father, Oliver, who died in 1921. In 1877, the old courthouse and police station building on the edge of town was altered and utilised as the Clare Casualty Hospital, with two rooms for patients and a kitchen and bedroom for the hospital keeper. It was only allowed to deal with accident victims. When the new Clare Hospital was opened in 1924, the old casualty hospital continued to be used as an infectious diseases ward. Really quite hard to imagine if you know the building. The Clare Hospital continued, of course, to expand, providing an excellent service for today's community. And the old courthouse, probably the last remaining original commercial building in town, has, since 1970, served the community as the Clare National Trust Museum. This is open to the public at weekends, and you would be warmly welcomed to visit us.
Thanks for joining us. Remember to have a listen to our other episodes. To find out more about our amazing heritage buildings and nature reserves, go to nationaltrust.org.au/sa.